Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Next item on the agenda is Good Hope Cemetery TDT request.
This cemetery, as you know, we have four different cemeteries in the district that are maintained under historical black cemeteries. This cemetery is in Warrington and has been neglected for some time. And it kind of fits into the blight that we're dealing with over there.
Commissioner Mike Kohler, their District 2 commissioner, talking at the TDC Tuesday and talking about this cemetery that you may not even know exists. If you're over on Barrancas at Navy and you look behind the old Kesko building, like you'd kind of have to be looking for it to notice it, but there's some really dilapidated looking like a chain link fence and then an ironworks fence, and then there's like three different styles of fencing, and then on the other side of that you have this, you know, cemetery, this historic black cemetery where, you know, it was like the only place that people could be buried for a long time. And, you know, they had it's grown into very dilapidated condition, and they had come to the TDC asking for $25,000 to help refurbish it. And there's actually kind of, you know, it's going to be a whole cleanup day coming up on the 27th, a week from this Saturday. Margo Stringfield from UWF as an archaeologist.
Wonderful resources here. Our historic resources are certainly one of the legs that we depend on. So these cemeteries are being worked on, and they are being developed so that they can provide heritage tourism support and draw people who are interested in coming to see historic Pensacola, and in many cases discovering where they came from and seeing where we are going with that knowledge.
Yeah, that's a really interesting take, because I don't think of I mean, like in New Orleans, I think of those cemeteries as being tourism related. It's hard to think of, like, you know, Pensacola cemeteries as being primarily or, you know, tourism related. But if it's got a tourism aspect, and if history, obviously some of these cemeteries go back hundreds of years and deal with, you know, for in this case, you have black people buried there from like Civil War era, Reconstruction era, and all of that. And Jim Reeves moved the approval of it, wanting to know if it was legal, but the advice from the legal counsel for the county said that it was. Jennifer Melcher from UWF, another archaeologist.
Part of what this money will pay for is not just landscape maintenance, but is documentation of the cemetery and our ability to therefore invite the public to the cemetery, because it will be made safe. So there are currently safety hazards, trees that need to be addressed. So that's part of why the request is for the 25.
And I wasn't really paying a lot of attention to this issue because I didn't know the cemetery and didn't know much about it. But I had a couple of people, you know, they got up to speak on behalf of the effort to renovate or just, you know, rescue this cemetery basically from its current condition. And these are people that I take very seriously. Dear friend Allison Bennett.
We come to ask you all to please grant the request for the $25,000 to clean up Good Hope Cemetery. It broke my heart 2 months ago. I go out to the cemetery. Homeless people had moved in, sleeping on top of graves, and my heart goes out to homeless people. I know people fall on hard times.
That's not great, but it's worse than that.
The overgrowth outside the fence is so humongous that you cannot even realize it's a cemetery until you walk through the gates. And once I did that, it was so much debris spread around. I say, what disrespect that is for someone who has passed away.
Right. And also, again, the historical nature of this particular cemetery, Pastor Marcel Davis.
The history of the cemetery. And if you take the sunset cruise over to Barrancas, they'll talk to you about the colors that moved into the fort that actually helped to sustain the government are buried there at this cemetery. Some of those who died from plagues that was over there. So if you ever take that sunset cruise, this is the cemetery that they're talking about.
So, yeah, and I mean, again, the historic nature of it, but also, you know, the condition that it's in right now and the effort to rescue it. Charles Thornton, who's another friend, and also, you know, and he's been on the rap, and you've heard his voice. He's the chairman of the Escambia Republican Committee, I think, executive committee. Anyway,
I grew up in this community. I'm 72 years old, and I really, it's a historical cemetery. It comes back through Reconstruction, all the way through Jim Crow, Civil Rights era. Somewhere it got lost along the way.
Yeah, so it does seem like the kind of thing that you'd want to, you know, take care of and, you know, renovate. And again, $25,000 isn't an awful lot. There's going to be an event, a cleanup event on the 27th of April. I was talking with Mike Kohler about this yesterday. You know, they think they might get 50 to 100 people show up and they can maybe, you know, take care of it kind of all in one day. But yeah, he says vandalism on the tombstones of several veterans and fellow black citizens buried there. Then buried there only because of their color, and that was the only place they could, which he says is kind of a disgrace as a nurse and somebody that respects everybody. So, you know, just trying to get that taken care of makes sense. Again, tourism, I don't know, but I could see it given that we're the, you know, oldest settlement in the entire United States. The idea that there's this historical connection for people to come here and, you know, see where their ancestors were buried or see who was buried here in history. I know when we go biking around, my wife and I go biking around the couple of counties area, we discover all of these little cemeteries and usually like to stop in and look around. And it is fascinating to see, you know, some of the dates on some of the tombstones and some of the connection to, for example, Civil War era people. It's not my people, okay, but it is a fascinating thing to see and think of. 616 here, and they approved it, of course, unanimously. 616 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives. Jimmy?
We are not seeing any accidents or major slowdowns on our roadways this morning. I-10 and I-110 are looking good, not showing any slowdowns on Pine Forest or in Carr City, and Mobile Highway is looking clear through Beulah. If you do see anything, please call or text our traffic tip line at 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. If you have an import, you've got a high-quality import that you paid a little extra to get, a Porsche, a Mercedes, a BMW, a Lexus, Genesis, Jaguar, you know, you might think, I got to take that to the dealership. And, you know, that hasn't been true for decades. Like, there's actually a federal law that protects you in being able to take your car to anywhere you want to go to get it serviced, okay? So you can take it to Bobby Likas right here on Davis Highway. You don't pay the extra fee if it's a little more to get it at the dealership. The distance, the gas, the inconvenience, and all of that is often true. You can get it right here on Davis Highway. Also, domestics, okay, they work on, you know, work on the Ford and the Chevy too. Okay, don't think it's only got to be the imports. And it could be the Honda and the Hyundai. It doesn't have to be the Lexus and the Porsche. You know, whatever it is, it's a diesel, it's a gas, it's an import, it's a domestic, they will work on it. CarClinicService.com is the website, like a healthcare clinic for your car. Bring it to them healthy so you don't have to bring it to them broken. 617 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Pensacola Christian Academy is the area's premier kindergarten learning program. Why? Because in a fun, safe environment, even four-year-olds learn to read, beginning with letters and sounds, progressing to reading words, sentences, and stories. And the best part? If your child attends K-4 and K-5 at Pensacola Christian Academy, you'll get first grade tuition-free. Spots are filling quickly, so go to enrollpca.com to register now.
At any event, gathering, or party, what's the one thing people talk about when it's over? The food! That's why, for over 25 years, locals have chosen Culinary Production as their caterer of choice. Chef Mike DeSorbo and his culinary team have been given rave reviews from very satisfied customers. And now, Culinary Production offers a venue space for your next event. A venue space for 250-plus people with catering, bar service, and more, all in downtown Pensacola. Get all the information you need at culinaryproductions.net.
You've built up the equity in your home. Now, a home equity line of credit from Pinair Credit Union can help you put it to great use. So build something incredible, like a backyard oasis or new walk-in shower. Invest in something special, like education or your business. Or just replace your roof. Boring, but important. Whatever you need, a home equity line of credit from Pinair is ready and waiting. And since there's no annual fee and no closing costs, a Pinair home equity line is always a perfect fit. Get started at pinair.org/HELOC. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing lender.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Local experts share their expertise on the Pensacola Expert Panel. It's Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
We follow orders, son. We follow orders or people die. It's that simple. Are we clear?
Yes, sir.
Are we clear?
Crystal.
I want to take you with me down a rabbit hole. You ready? We were talking at the end of last hour about the relationship between like the $100 million Larry Nassar settlement versus the collection of Kiss's music at $300 million versus the potential cost of a new Bay Center at $500 million and then things like aircraft carriers, which cost about $13 billion these days, and Twitter, which cost, you know, what, $34 trillion is what I remember. I could be wrong. $34 billion, not T. Anyway, and so Jimmy and I were talking off the air, and we were talking about how, like, explaining to people mathematical relationships, sometimes it's hard to grasp some of this stuff. And I said one of the things I like to use is GDPs. You know, what's the total economic productivity output of, for example, like Escambia County? Because sometimes when you're talking about billions of dollars, it's just hard to figure out, what does that even mean? You know, what does an aircraft carrier really cost? Well, the Ford costs about $13 billion. And the GDP of Escambia County, in case you did not know, and you probably don't because who knows these things, I had to look it up, is $20 billion, about $20 billion. So every year, all the people who are working in Escambia County, basically if we were all working on aircraft carriers instead of, you know, waiting tables and making radio shows and, you know, manufacturing paper at the mill, you know, right? If we were doing training for the military, if we were all working on building an aircraft carrier, we would build 1.5 of them a year. Or if you want to think of it this way, in order to buy an aircraft carrier, you have to spend the equivalent of everybody's salary. it's not quite right, but it's close enough. That's a rough estimate, okay? That costs the entire salary of Escambia County plus another half. And we could buy 1.5 for that much. But then I got to thinking, you know, really, I probably ought to talk about the total economic output of Escambia and Santa Rosa combined, because we kind of work together as a unit, and B, that's our listening area. So I looked it up, and here's where things get kind of fascinating to me. There's 330,000 people in Escambia County, about 170,000-ish, I mean, give or take, in Santa Rosa. So the population relationship is about 2-1, okay? So what would you think is the GDP of Santa Rosa County? Well, a good guess would be $10 billion, right? Nope. Five. Roughly, okay? And these are all rough numbers, and some of them are a couple years old, but the rough relationships are still right. Okay, so $20 billion in Escambia County, $5 billion in Santa Rosa County. And if your question is, are Santa Rosa County people that lazy? No, no, that's not what that means. They work in Escambia County, right? Because, you know, people in Gulf Breeze come to Escambia County to work, and people in Milton and Pace largely come to Pensacola to work. Right. Okay. So, you know, it's not that. It's really that Escambia gets a false bump in terms of the GDP compared to the population. Okay. So $25 billion for the area, if that helps you think about it. $25 billion or two aircraft carriers. About two aircraft carriers.
Didn't we find out that Escambia's GDP is equivalent to...
We're getting there. Yes. So Jimmy said... So I bet Escambia County's GDP is bigger than some countries. I thought, no, there can't be any countries. Oh, no. He's exactly right. So here's where things get fascinating to me. There are about, if you look at the one that we're even to, just Escambia County, if you look at, you know, where we're even, Jamaica. The GDP of Jamaica is right in that same vicinity, right about $20 billion. Now, if you do the whole area and you did 25, you get a little bit larger. You get like Armenia, okay, or Haiti or Mozambique. Those are all roughly in that vicinity. That means that, again, just Escambia County, or if you want to include the both, there's something like 60 countries that Escambia County has a bigger, GDP than. Escambia County does more every year in production than 60 countries. That's a lot. I mean, that's amazing when I think about it. I mean, we sometimes talk about Florida would be the so much largest economy in the world, but I never thought about just Escambia County all on its own. And by the way, there's about 10 times as many people in Jamaica, for example, as there are in, not quite, about 8 times as many. Like I said, this was the rabbit hole we were going down. I thought it was fascinating. And
some of these countries could really benefit if they spent, 1.5% of their GDP on Kiss's music catalog. And they could add that to their list of exports.
Or 2% and bought a base on it, right? Or as somebody pointed out to me, maybe if they only had a larger flag flying, then they could do even better. 625 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. Jimmy's got our traffic on the fives.
This traffic report is brought to you by Executive Landscaping. We're not seeing any slowdowns or major accidents on the roadways this morning. I-10, I-110 are all looking good. If you're on Highway 98, east and westbound through Navarre and Gulf Breeze is flowing smoothly. No delays on Burgess or Olive, and looking good from 12th Avenue through to Palafox and W Street. If you do see anything, please call or text our traffic tip line at 437-1620. Executive Landscaping, call us today for all of your commercial and premium landscaping needs. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David, how's the math working for you today? Is the math mathing for you?
The math is never mathing for me. Yeah. Not a mather over here.
I gotcha.
Former President Trump's criminal trial in New York resuming today. They've got another round of jury selection scheduled. As of now, 7 jurors have already been chosen. They have to select 12 along with 6 alternates. Arizona's Civil War era near total abortion ban is still law.
We know that this ban is going to have devastating consequences for access to health care, not just for abortion, but across the spectrum of pregnancy. And these Republicans are just playing games.
That is Arizona Governor Katie Hobbs giving her reaction. The state's House did not repeal that law Wednesday following attempts by Democrat lawmakers to do so. That ban could start being enforced in June there. And apparently performers at Disneyland in California have filed a petition to unionize. On Wednesday, Disney performers announced they'll be holding a vote on unionizing. That vote likely will happen in May or in June. I was looking it up. I don't believe the Disney performers in Florida are unionized, but who knows?
I'd be surprised to find that they are, but okay. All right. Fair enough, David. Thanks so much for the update. 627 on News Radio 9. Oh, got a good text in here. Somebody says, all I heard in that whole GDP monologue was Jamaica.
Is that because of the signal or because they need a vacation?
No. They just, because their eyes glaze over or ears glaze over when we're talking about numbers and, doing math on the radio is always not the best radio. Okay, I have bad news, worst news, and the worst news of all. Which would I'll let you decide which one is which. Okay, I won't even decide for you which one is which.
Oh, okay.
Here's one of the stories. Remember this whole NPR dust-up with Yuri Berliner, the 25-year veteran, the business editor, and wrote the article about how NPR has given in to liberal wokist bias and can't report the news fairly and accurately anymore, and it makes him sad because he likes the news organization. And then they put him on 5 days of unpaid suspension. He's now quit. He's done, which I think you probably saw that coming, right? You probably saw that was the way this is going to end. My thought is they might slow quit him over the course of a year and then, soft terminate him later on because they say his work isn't good enough or something. But no, now he's out. He's saying he cannot work for anybody, the boss, the big boss, has her opinions, shares them publicly, and then pretends to be a news editor. I'm giving you a rough translation of what he said. Story number two, Red Lobster is going bankrupt, considering bankruptcy. Red Lobster. So Red Lobster may no longer exist in the near future. And the only thing I hear in that story is, but the biscuits. Oh, my God, those cheddar biscuits. And I probably haven't eaten a Red Lobster in 20 years. But now all I want to do is go get biscuits before they're gone because those are really, really, really good. Andrew, but I think they also sell seafood, do they? 437. I mean, come on. In this town, there's a lot of seafood, and I don't have anything against, I grew up going to Red Lobster. I grew up going to, Long John Silver's, so I'm a Midwesterner for when it comes to seafood, but I do know better and worse. Anyway, and then the third story, again, you decide what's the bad, the worst, and the terrible of all. California fast food restaurants. Remember they raised the minimum wage to $20 an hour, which will have no impact on anything. They'll just eat it. That's all there is. They're going to pay their people more money. Everybody's going to be happy. It's going to be a socialist utopia. It's going to be fantastic. No, now you have restaurant chains around the state are raising their prices. You've got Wendy's has gone up 8%. Chipotle has gone up 7.5%. You say, well, I thought the minimum wage went up 25% or 30%. Yeah, that's true. But remember, labor is only about a third of the cost of doing business. Okay, so they're not going to raise their prices 25 or 30%. Plus, the market probably wouldn't sustain it. This is a for now. This is a now kind of thing. Starbucks has gone up 7%. Taco Bell is only up 3%. Burger King, 2%. McDonald's is the one holdout so far, not raising its prices yet at all. So we'll see what happens. But, yeah, everybody else is saying, hey, somebody got to pay. It's going to be you.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. After a day off, former President Trump returns to court for day three of jury selection at his criminal trial in New York. Republican National Committee co-chair Laura Trump on Fox.
In the 3 days since they've held Donald Trump in that courtroom, his campaign has raised $3 million. The average donation is $26.
Seven jurors are chosen so far. Attorneys for Brian Koberger submitted alibi saying he was out driving when four University of Idaho students were stabbed to death.
The defense plans to call an expert to prove the defendant's phone was in those locations and not at the murder scene. Prosecutors claim his phone was turned off around the time of the murders, and they can place his vehicle at the scene and his DNA found on the knife sheath under one of the victim's bodies.
Fox's Chandler Painter. 911 outages are reported in Nevada, Nebraska, South Dakota, and Texas. At least most of that service is now restored. America's listening to Fox News.
Nice. Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. Yeah, that's the problem. You have 100 web browsers open, and you never know what's going to bleed through. Good morning. It's cloudy and 70 in Pensacola. I'm David Wayne. Local lottery officials say a Defuniak Springs couple altered a scratch-off ticket in a failed attempt to win $1 million. Investigators say 32-year-old Dakota Jones and his partner Kira Enders altered a 500 times the cash scratch off ticket, which had been purchased in Defuniak Springs. They attempted to make it look like $1 million winner. Deputies say the ticket had been crudely pieced together from two separate scratch offs, then was laminated to cover up those alterations. The couple attempted to claim that prize at the Pensacola Lottery office. Jones has been charged with principal to grand theft and principal to alter a lottery ticket with intent to defraud and is being held on no bond. Deputies say they're still looking for Kira Enders, who will face similar charges. The U.S. Air Force Secretary admitting in testimony on Capitol Hill yesterday that less than a third of F-35s built by Lockheed Martin are operationally capable. With Eglin Air Force Base in mind, Congressman Matt Gaetz accused the Pentagon of giving too much power to the defense contractors, who are in turn exploiting American taxpayers.
CEO of Lockheed. I appreciate those conversations. I've always found you to be the truth teller. You're always very honest with the committee and straightforward. The problem is the tail here is wagging the dog, and it's not going to get better unless there's accountability for the fact that their planes don't fly.
That is Congressman Gaetz there, and he says government needs to demand accountability and get more of those F-35s up and running. Escambia County Sheriff's deputies say they're on the hunt for a man now accused of shooting a man during a robbery. That incident happened on Tuesday morning at a home on North P Street. 20-year-old Patrick Farrell Jr. is wanted on charges of attempted homicide and robbery. Investigators say Farrell called an acquaintance and asked for money. When he was told no, drove to the home anyway, stole the money, and shot the victim in the back. The victim's injuries not considered to be life-threatening. Pensacola city leaders continuing to look into ways to improve the parking situation downtown. One upcoming change is converting some free spaces into paid spots.
There will still be hundreds and hundreds, thousands, I believe, multiple thousands of free spaces that the city operates. So, you know, when we start talking about paid parking, everyone gets in their mind that that means all free parking is going away. That is absolutely not the case. There'll be significant on-street parking. It just may not be right in front of the building you want to go to. That will still happen even with these policy changes.
Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves says other changes include possibly moving from an ordinance that controls parking rates to including that into the city's budgeting process, which he says would allow for more flexibility, such as charging more during peak demand times. And the parking revamp also included moving from the old Park Pensacola app to the new Park Mobile app, which has already received a positive response in the city. And Harvest Christian Center in Cantonment hosting a comedy show tonight. Their goal, raising money and supplies for the food bank. Stand-up comedian Jaron Myers rose to fame in 2017 with his Chick-fil-A parody rap video, My Pleasure. Since then, he's been traveling the country.
I really want to emphasize in my show that it is, you know, there's no sex, drugs, or politics, anything in my show that is, you know, controversial or whatever. My hope is that you can invite a friend, and it's just something where we can laugh and let go of how heavy the world is right now.
The doors open at 6:30. That show starts at 7. Admission, only $5 at the door. You can also bring non-perishable food items for the food bank. It's 6:35, and Jimmy's got our traffic on the fives.
David, we are looking all good in Pensacola today, despite some of that morning traffic moving in from Pace and Milton. I-10, I-110 are all looking good, and if you're coming in from Gulf Breeze, you shouldn't expect any slowdowns. If you do see something we should be reporting on, please call or text our traffic tip line at 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, and now our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We are going to have a beautiful but cloudy day today. Temperatures warming up near 80 degrees for your high. Overnight tonight, staying warm. Temperatures near 66. For Friday, sunshine will return, warming up in the afternoon near 82 degrees for your high. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 65. On Saturday, beautiful weather continues with peaks of sunshine, high near 82. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 65. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. Right now, cloudy. It is 71 in Pensacola, 69 in Gulf Breeze and 66 in Milton. Your next news at 7 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Members of Bridges Health Partners, who work to bring down healthcare costs, are suing Aetna Network Services for alleged breach of contract. The group claims Aetna added supplemental costs such as marketing, over-the-counter medications, and gym memberships, which were subtracted from funds that otherwise would have been spent caring for patients. Bridges Health Partners is asking Aetna to abide by the terms of the contract, reimburse the improperly taken funds, and pay the legal fees. Google has terminated 28 employees after a series of protests against labor conditions, as well as the company's contract to provide the Israeli government and military with cloud computing and artificial intelligence services. Google's leadership said an investigation will be conducted and the company will take additional action as needed. Futures are slightly higher. Wednesday, the Dow Industrials lost 45. The NASDAQ lost 181. That's Your Money Now.
Moments like making my kids my famous meatballs mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
The celebration continues at Pete Moore Imports during Volkswagen's 75th anniversary sales event. Drive the Volkswagen Tiguan, a spacious SUV with plenty of savings, like a $2,000 customer cash discount, or lock in 0% APR for 60 full months. And for VW's largest SUVs, the Atlas and Atlas Cross Sport, you can choose 1.9% APR for 60 months or a $3,000 customer cash discount. For 75 years, Volkswagen has delivered a lineup of vehicles much loved by generations. From the VW ID.4 EV, the VW Taos, the ever-popular Jetta sedan, and the GTI and Golf R performance cars. VW continues to deliver excitement today. So come to Pete Moore Imports and celebrate with savings. 106 New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Special APR rate for qualifying credit through BCI and a standalone offer in lieu of customer cash discounts. Must take retail delivery by April 30th. See dealer for details.
One, two!
The Pensacola Navy Days 4K is Saturday, May 18th at 8:15. This inaugural fun run starts at Community Maritime Park and runs along Bayfront, down to Veterans Park, and back to Community Maritime Park. Register now and receive a commemorative Pensacola Navy Days challenge coin and a race t-shirt. You can run or walk, and when you return to Community Maritime Park, you can celebrate with a beverage and stick around for the Family Fun Fest. Register now at PensacolaNavyDays.com. That's PensacolaNavyDays.com.
News Radio Pensacola has you covered no matter where you are or how you like to listen. Tune into our frequencies on 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, and AM 1620 for the latest breaking news, local updates, and in-depth analysis. Can't be near a radio? No problem. Stream us live on our website or through our convenient app. Available for download on your mobile device. Plus, with our smart device integration, you can ask your virtual assistant to play News Radio 92.3, and we'll be right there with you. It's News Radio Pensacola.
Look, I think social media has fueled hatred, but what it's also done is put on display for all of us that dirty, filthy underbelly in Irish society of hatred, because that hatred has always existed. It may be fueled by social media, but, you know, what was the excuse, when it came to the way the travellers have been treated across hundreds of years in this country? What was the excuse when it came to the way that people with disabilities have been treated, particularly intellectual disabilities, have been treated in this country? And indeed, I go on to speak about gender.
Now, you may not recognize this voice because it is Irish Senator Eileen O'Reilly. Now, you're probably not surprised that she's Irish. And this is from about, 8 months ago, 9 months ago, something. It was last June. It's a story that I have been sort of lightly following over the last three quarters of a year. Had not had a chance to talk about it yet, and just kind of had the moment today because this is all in connection with a proposed law in Ireland that they're still working on. They have not passed. They have not struck down. It's called the Criminal Justice Bill 2022, or the Incitement to Violence or Hatred and Hate Offenses Bill. And the basic elements of the bill are that if you engage in speech that targets a variety of protected classes, including race, color, nationality, religion, national or ethnic origin, descent, gender, sex characteristics, sexual orientation, or disability, and if you're kind of engaged in behavior or speech in this regard that is likely to incite hatred or violence. Not violence, hatred or violence toward members of that group, okay? So think of the transgressors ceremony every Friday. Is it likely to incite hatred? Well, I hope not, because it's meant to be satire in order to make you think. But somebody else might think, no, that's, you know, homophobia, racism, or who knows what they might think, okay? Likely to incite hatred or violence. Here's where it gets really interesting. It's not just that you engage in speech that is judged to be likely to incite hatred or violence. But if you even have an intent, the possession of a speech that you're thinking about posting or engaging in, as in it's not actually something you've said, but it's, say, in your papers or on your phone, you have, like, it's like the premeditation portion of engaging in hateful or violent speech. Oh, and the judge can actually force you to give over the password to your phone for them to look to see if you've got, as Elon Musk has kind of described it, a potentially hateful, inspiring meme on your phone that you haven't even shared yet, but you've been thinking about it. That could wind up in putting you afoul of the law in Ireland. So this is a pretty, like, really super invasive anti-free speech law that they are still considering even to this point. I was looking it up yesterday just to kind of see where this all stands. But that's kind of where they're at on this topic. But this speech from back in June by Senator Eileen O'Reilly really got a lot of people's attention because of some of the things that she said. Jimmy, you look like you wanted to ask a question or weigh in on something.
It's just very reminiscent of my high school days. I would incite hatred with my stupid questions, and then my teachers would take my phone from me.
Well, if it's only hatred of Jimmy, that's one thing. But if it's hatred of all Irishmen or, you know, all redheads or all bass players or, you know, of other groups that you're not even a member of. I mean, so much the worse. Okay, so this is the rest of the speech that really raised people's eyebrows. And I'll talk about this for a second.
When you think about it, all law, all legislation is about the restriction of freedom. That's exactly what we're doing here, is we are restricting freedom, but we're doing it for the common good.
I will say I love the honesty. But I think people react to this wrong. I actually agree with her. All law is about restricting freedom. I mean, that's what laws do. They restrict freedom. They tell you can't do that, right? And the question is, for what purpose do you restrict freedom? And you do sometimes restrict freedom, or, you know, you take money, which is another way of restricting freedom, right? You've taken away your economic capability by taking your money through a tax. Sometimes it's done for the common good. Sometimes it's done to protect your freedom. You know, theoretically, you restrict freedom in order to protect freedom, which might seem ironic, but that really is the case. I mean, you know, you take tax money, you pay a military, the military goes and prevents other people or people locally from taking over the country and enforcing upon you their version of limited freedom. And so you maximize freedom by depriving people of a little bit of it. And I don't mean to go fast on this, but this is sort of basic stuff. Anyway, continues.
You will see throughout our Constitution, yes, you have rights, but they are restricted for the common good. Everything needs to be balanced.
See, in America, we have a different idea about free speech, and we feel that and believe and sort of have lived and died to protect the idea that, tough for the common good. We protect people and their ability to say and do things, not so much do always, but say for sure. We're very robust on that protection. It's going to get worse in just a second. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives.
This traffic report is brought to you by Discover. We are seeing one vehicle crash. If you are on Fairfield Drive and North L Street, please be careful. There was a vehicle crash earlier. No road blockage, but while they are clearing that, please drive with caution. I-10 and I-110 are all looking good. Not showing any slowdowns on Pine Forest or in Carr City. Looking good from 12th Avenue through to Palafox and W Street, and Highway 29 is accident-free from Atmore Cutoff in Molino through Cantonment. Discover wants everyone to feel special with live 24/7 customer service. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. If you see anything else on the road, please give us a call or text at the traffic tip line 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. So we're getting a bunch of texts in here basically saying, it sounds like Ireland is, they read 1984 and did not realize it was satire. Did not realize that it was meant to provoke the response of, oh God. But instead it seems to be provoking the response of, huh. Good idea. Yeah. Roadmap. Or also Minority Report, people are saying, which is the Tom Cruise movie where you had the psychics issuing pre-crime certificates in order to prevent things from happening, right? Okay, so back to the comments, which will progressively scare you more and more from this senator in Ireland, Eileen O'Reilly, from last summer.
And if your views on other people's identities go to make their lives unsafe, insecure, and cause them such deep discomfort that they cannot live in peace, then I believe that it is our job as legislators to restrict those freedoms for the common good.
Holy, can't say it on the air, Batman. You're telling me that because somebody feels unsafe that their identity isn't being validated by my speech enough, that we should curtail my speech in order to give them the mental safe snowflake space that they need? Well, this is, listen, you know, remember in the movie The Dark Knight when you have the Joker and he says, I'm not a monster, I'm just ahead of the curve. Ireland's not a monster, they're just ahead of the curve. Tell me this isn't exactly what cancel culture wants to do in this country. When it comes to a whole range of things that make people feel unsafe because, you know, they have their identities or their ideas or their beliefs or their practices challenged. Again, you don't need to protect speech people like. You only need to protect speech that people don't like, right? You don't need to protect speech people want to hear. You only need to protect speech that people do not want to hear.
Because you cannot do and say whatever you like in our society, a society governed by laws.
Oh, it's just like my spine chills harder every time she keeps talking.
That's the very fundamental of a legislation system. That should be the very fundamentals of any legislator who sits in this chamber, that they understand that what we do is restrict freedoms.
Yes, but only the right ones, like, and not the speech ones. And yes, it's true that all laws restrict freedom and all laws represent somebody's vision of morality. That's just true. Okay, people always say, law, you can't legislate morality. The only thing you can do is legislate morality. All laws legislate morality. In America, our morality is that you're going to respect as much freedom of people as you possibly can, and you're going to respect their freedom of speech almost maximally, almost without limit. Her idea is, no, people don't need to be able to speak things that are hurtful to other people's feelings. Law should be there to prevent them from doing that, or even preparing to do that, like putting an offensive meme on their phone. That's the kind of stuff we need to get rid of.
There are people who down through generations have been fearful about walking outside of their door because they are attacked, verbally attacked. And that restricts their freedom. So what I'm saying to you is, why do you think that your freedoms can't be restricted, but theirs can? It sounds to me a lot like bullying.
It sounds to me a lot like free speech, but apparently we differ.
Now, I think that the previous senator, Senator Flynn, is correct. We cannot legislate for kindness, but we can at least say...
By the way, you hear how she kind of wishes you could? I mean, like she's like, we unfortunately cannot legislate for kindness. Darn it!
Now, I think that the previous senator, Senator Flynn, is correct. We cannot legislate for kindness, but we can at least say, as public representatives, we represent the public inside these chambers, and we say that the public does not accept this kind of behavior anymore, and this is a step in the right direction.
You know who says that the public doesn't tolerate that anymore? The public, by their decision not to play bridge with you. The public, by their decision not to play tennis with you or invite you to their parties. That's the right way to solve this, not make a law that says you can't say things that don't fully validate somebody else's gender or race or religion or ancestry.
This fundamentally comes down to only one thing. It is about, can we move forward towards a kinder society? And can we, within the fairly blunt instrument of legislation, do that in this chamber? And I believe we can, and I believe that this is an excellent step in that direction. Thank you very much, Minister.
Nothing screams kindness like the barrel of a gun pointed at you, telling you what you can and cannot say. 437-1620, I'm Andrew McKay.
Pensacola Habitat for Humanity invites all executives and business leaders to join Executive Build 2024. Be a part of a unique construction build site experience while empowering your business and investing in our local community. This is your chance to show compassion and support within your community or organization. Roll up your sleeves with other Escambia and Santa Rosa County leaders for Pensacola Habitat for Humanity Executive Build on April 26th. Reserve your spot. See PensacolaHabitat.org/ExecBuild for more information.
I'm getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, a Pfizer vaccine.
So am I, because I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
If you're 19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, COPD, or heart disease, or are 65 or older, you are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine. It can help protect you against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Even if you've already been vaccinated with other pneumonia vaccines, Prevnar 20 may help provide added protection. Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out this morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information this morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The following message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Elder Affairs, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Sarah is 64 and loves to garden. Recently, her health insurance ran out, leaving her worried about more than just weeds. She called the Elder Helpline and spoke with a volunteer Shine counselor about her options. There, she received free, unbiased counseling on health insurance for those on Medicare. For more information or to volunteer, call 1-800-963-5337 or go to floridashine.org.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Friday night, check out Cinemas in the Sand at the Gulfside Pavilion. Bring your beach chairs and enjoy Jumanji beginning at sunset. It's a free event presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority. Gallery night in downtown Pensacola is Friday night from Garden to Main. This month, highlighting Earth Day. GalleryNightPensacola.org for more. Find more events and submit yours at NewsRadio923.com.
Get news at the top and bottom of every hour with WEAR-TV, our local news team, and Fox News on News Radio Pensacola.
How come a girl as bright as you could have a brother who's so...
Don't call me stupid.
Good morning, 6:56 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola morning news, and who's up for moving to Ireland? No, I don't think so. A lot of people. They have not passed this bill yet, but they have been talking about it seriously for the last 9 or 10 months, and they know that there's a lot of pushback on this. You think? Anyway, Jimmy's got our traffic on the fives. Jimmy?
We are not seeing any accidents or major slowdowns on our roadways this morning. I-10, I-110 are all looking good. If you're on Highway 98, east and westbound through Navarre and Gulf Breeze is flowing smoothly and not showing any slowdowns on Pine Forest or in Carr City. If you do see anything we should be reporting on, please call or text our traffic tip line at 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. David Wayne in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
President Biden's expected to receive an endorsement for re-election from members of the Kennedy family today. The announcement comes as a bit of a rejection of Robert F. Kennedy's independent run for the White House. After a widespread 911 outage was reported in a number of states on Wednesday, looks like things are getting back to normal. Authorities say residents in Nebraska, Nevada, South Dakota, and Texas have all now regained their 911 service. No word on what led to that failure, but that's a pretty big one across several states there. More than two dozen Google employees have been fired after a sit-in protest over a project involving the company and the Israeli government. Tech news website The Verge says it obtained an internal memo from Google's head of global security saying a number of employees took over office spaces, defaced property, and physically impeded the work of others.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. You know, I know David had mentioned it yesterday, but we didn't talk on sort of my side of the microphone at all about the Mayorkas impeachment and the effort to remove him from office. And, you know, I'll tell you why I didn't talk about it, because I knew it was all dumb. I mean, I knew it was going to come to nothing. And, you know, lo and behold, it comes to nothing, because there was no way they were going to ever get 2/3 of the Senate to vote on either of these things. In fact, they couldn't even get a majority to vote on basically having the trial. They dismissed both charges, 51-48 and 51-49 along party lines, and we're done. I mean, come on. This is whatever you might believe. I actually agree with the assessment by the Democrats on this, that this was frustration with the Biden border policy. Borden's kind of a nice mashup. And wanting to remove him because he's not doing right on the border, which I agree. He's not doing right on the border. But is he engaging in, you know, impeachable offense? No. Good Lord. Come on. You want the Congress to be able to impeach people at his level because they just don't like what they're doing? Anyway, I agree. This was an election year silly stunt. Also, Republicans showing weakness in the sense that, you know, you barely got enough majority to bring the two articles of impeachment, and then you get basically shown the door at the Senate in 5 minutes. What did you accomplish? other than making yourselves look politically silly. All right, future news quickly here. Let's see. Which option for the Bay Center will we take? $10 million Band-Aid, $70 million facelift, $130 million reconstructive surgery, or $500 million for a brand new one?
Probably whatever's cheapest.
Band-Aid it is!
Dependable traffic on the fives, weekdays on News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.